The Catholic Church opens up its finances a bit.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from American Public Media in Los Angeles. I'm Jeremy Hobson. This morning, Pope Benedict signed a document to make the Vatican's financial operations more transparent and to make sure they comply with international regulations. The Vatican's bank is currently under investigation for money laundering. From Rome, here's the BBC's David Willey.
The Vatican announced it'll create a new watchdog to oversee all its financial operations. The move was required by the European Union and by other international organizations involved in the fight against money laundering and the financing of terrorism. Robert Mickens of the Tablet newspaper, another Vatican watcher, says the bank previously resisted these global financial rules.
The banking operation under the umbrella of the Vatican usually is seen as an independent agency without outside intervention, and the moves today reflect pressure from the outside.
That pressure comes because of a criminal investigation against the Vatican Bank. The Vatican insists that there'd been a misunderstanding and there'd been no wrongdoing by their bank or by its employees. But despite this move towards more transparency, it'll still take some time before the Vatican is put on the so-called white list of developed countries that have agreed to share tax information and crack down on tax havens. From Rome, I'm the BBC's David Willey for Marketplace.
Well, from the finances of the Vatican to the finances of the U.S., it turns out that because Congress didn't pass a budget, taxpayers will be spending $500 million on a NASA program that's been canceled. Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman is following this for us, and he joins us now. Hi, Mitchell.
Good morning, Jeremy.
So what gives?
Well, this program, this money is for a program to develop a new vehicle that's supposed to replace the space shuttle. It would take astronauts to the International Space Station. In particular, it's a rocket called Ares 1, which would use solid fuel to take the spacecraft into orbit. And there's just one problem. President Obama announced in October that he was scrapping the return to the moon effort that President Bush was pursuing. And that means that the solid rocket fuel booster is also not going to fly. A lot of experts think liquid fuel is actually cheaper and safer. But NASA still has to spend around $500 million on the old defunct rocket system. And that's because Congress couldn't agree on new budgets for 2011 in the lame duck. So they just continued last year's budgets through March.
I knew there had to be a problem with that strategy. Can't NASA, Mitchell, can't NASA just quietly pull the plug?
Well, no, because Congress specified in its 2010 budget that NASA couldn't stop the funding until a new budget was in place. Of course, a new budget is not in place. And that was done to protect jobs in congressional districts, particularly in Alabama, that are dependent on building this rocket.
All right. Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman. We'll see what happens with that. Thanks so much.
You're welcome.
And let's do the numbers. Stocks are down right now in Europe, about 1% in Paris, a little more than 1% in Frankfurt. The tallest building in Boston, the John Hancock Tower, has been sold for $930 million to Boston Properties. Its former owners bought it at a foreclosure auction for $660 million just 18 months ago. On Wall Street yesterday, the Dow continued its steady climb. It finished the day up 9 points at 11,585.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by the all-new Chevrolet Volt, available soon in select markets. Details at ChevyVolt.com. The all-new Chevrolet Volt. It's more car than electric.
In about a half hour, we'll get a look at how many new applications there were for unemployment benefits last week. It's one of the many weekly indicators we use to gauge the health of the economy. But since it's the end of the year, we thought we'd take the long view with our economics correspondent, Chris Farrell. He's selected a few other measures of the economy that he's been following and will be following next year. Hi, Chris.
Hey, Jeremy.
So let's start out with housing, since the latest numbers that we got just this week are pretty gloomy. Prices are down across the country. Supply is up. What are you going to be watching here in 2011?
Well, I have a slightly more optimistic take on the market, and it has to do with the indicator that I'm following, home ownership versus renting. Because remember, these two markets compete for the household dollar. And Richard Green is professor at University of Southern California, did a back of the envelope calculation looking at the median home versus the median rental unit. And what he decided is for 2011, that owning the median home is about 10% less per square foot than renting the median rental unit. What that tells me is you can still have some price declines and ownership is good.
So there's a glimmer of hope there in the housing market for the year ahead. How else are you going to be gauging the economy, Chris? I mean, we talk about GDP growth or durable goods orders, things like that. What are you going to be looking at?
Apple stock. Apple stock. Now, can I read you one number?
Absolutely.
One number. Okay. So this comes from Morningstar, and I clicked on their 10-year chart. And it says the overall change in Apple stock for the decade, 4,275.77%.
Oh, my God. 4,000%.
This is incredible, but this is important. This is the innovative side of our economy, Google, Facebook, Twitter, the whole wireless mobile internet world. And this area of our economy is exploding. That's the real glimmer of hope.
Why didn't you tell me about the Apple stock 10 years ago, Chris? Now, all right, so the tech sector is doing well, but what about jobs? That's got to be the biggest story of the year, or at least one of them.
It is. So let's watch the temp sector. Over a quarter of all job hires by the private sector in 2010 were temp jobs. That's going to continue in 2011, but hopefully eventually we'll see those turn into permanent jobs.
All right. Marketplace economics correspondent Chris Farrell, happy new year. Thanks so much for everything in 2010, and we will be talking to you very frequently in 2011.
Happy New Year.
And finally, be careful what you bet on. A jewelry store owner in North Carolina made a bet with his customers that it wouldn't snow more than 3 inches in the city of Asheville on Christmas Day. He said if it did snow that much, he'd refund everything that was purchased between November 26th and December 11th. Well, guess what? It did snow 6 inches in Asheville on Christmas Day, and he owes his customers $400,000. Well, actually, he took out an insurance policy, so the insurance company owes his customers $400,000. Now, I don't know which company it is, but it sounds to me like a bet that AIG would have taken. In Los Angeles, I'm Jeremy Hobson on Twitter at Jeremy Hobson, and this is the Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
The bustling streets of New York are becoming more bike-friendly, and businesses are taking notice.
The kind of employees who bike, those are the kinds of workers that companies really want to have and they want to hold on to.
I'm Bob Moon. The cyclists take Manhattan. Next time on Marketplace from American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.